Well, we've got just 5 days to go until the opening ceremony kicks off the Beijing Olympics. The Winter Games were set to be the first real test for the Chinese central bank's digital yuan. But those ambitions have been scaled back dramatically, in part because of limited attendance. No spectators will be allowed into events out of fears of COVID outbreaks. Let's bring in Daryl Duffy, Stanford Graduate School of Business, professor of finance. Professor, it's great to have you on today. So this digital yuan has kind of been on a trial run for the last 2 years. This was supposed to be the big reveal with everybody flying into Beijing for the games. What can we expect now that that's been scaled back significantly?
Well, Kiko, it had originally been touted as a splashy opening of the new digital yuan in China. It's been in development for over 5 years with lots of technology and testing. And it's actually been rolled out in 10 major cities. It's on phone apps. You can use it if you're in China. But as you mentioned, because of COVID, at the Olympics, it'll be mainly local workers doing the Olympics and the athletes that are using it. And I think you're going to see some coverage just as you are doing this today. And it will help profile the ability of this new digital currency to serve everyday payment needs. But it's not a splashy event. You'll just continue to see it rolling out. There's now 260 million people in China that have downloaded the app to their phones. And the volumes are still quite low, but it's just going to keep increasing over time.
What's the experience going to be like for the international athletes who are going to be on the ground? I mean, the thinking initially before the Olympics were scaled back was that China would require the digital yuan to be used to really accelerate adoption. And yet, even before the games, we've heard from lawmakers over in D.C., for example, calling on athletes to bring burner phones so that they don't necessarily get tracked. I mean, talk to me about the debate around that and what athletes can expect once they're on the ground.
Well, Kiko, it is true that the authorities are pushing the use of ECNY at the Olympics. You're only allowed to use paper Chinese money, Visa cards, or this new digital yuan. But the idea that you need to be worried about surveillance at this particular venue is not that great because most of the athletes are foreign. They won't have Chinese mobile phone accounts. So they're going to actually stuff US dollars or Australian dollars or euros into ATM machines. And out will come an anonymous card. And you'll carry that card around and tap it to travel on a local athlete's bus or get food at a concession. But the idea that you could be surveilled upon at the Olympics is not really a big of a risk. There could be risks, though, later in terms of surveillance of payments by U.S. firms in China. And, of course, the Chinese people themselves could have surveillance. But I think the athletes don't need to worry that much.
You mentioned that the digital yuan's been rolled out in a number of cities. I wonder what the adoption's been like domestically. I mean, anybody who's gone to China knows that in major cities, things are largely cashless with the use of WeChat as well as Alipay. I mean, how many Chinese consumers have actually taken to this shift when they've already got an app that basically pays for everything?
Yeah, some Chinese consumers have asked, well, why do I need another app? I already have WeChat Pay and Alipay, which dominate the mobile payment scene in China. Over 95% of Chinese consumers in the urban areas are using those two apps. But I think China's government really doesn't like that very much. They don't like it that these are private firms, that they've been taking business from the large Chinese banks, which are state-owned. And also, these fintech firms have a lot of data, which concerns the Chinese authorities. They want the data. So they've been encouraging Chinese consumers to download the app, and that's been quite successful, over 250 million downloads of the app. But the volumes are still small, under about 15 billion U.S. dollars so far, which is a drop in the bucket in China's payment scene, which runs into the trillions of dollars a year. So we'll have to see over time. I mean, the Chinese authorities can certainly encourage it to whatever extent they want. They can require it even.
I know you've been looking a lot about at what this rollout from China means for other CBDCs, and you've got a report coming up here in March that really looks at the implications specifically for the Fed and the digital dollar. Can you talk a bit more about why you think the Fed needs to take more of a leadership role? I mean, sure, we're talking about China right now, but there is an argument to be made about global standards that need to be set. And if the Fed doesn't move quickly enough, they're not at the table in crafting that.
That's absolutely right, Akiko. In early March, the Hoover Institution at Stanford is going to release a major policy report, which will involve experts from across computer science, former Treasury undersecretaries, former China directors at the White House, national security members, economists, and business people. And the report is likely to assert that the United States government needs to get moving in the area of digital currencies. China has taken the pole position. It's already laying out what it believes to be international standards for cross-border payments. It's interacting with other countries on infrastructure for cross-border payments. And meanwhile, the United States government is still making up its mind about how much to embrace digital currencies. The Fed released a major paper 2 weeks ago laying out what it believes to be the future for a CBDC if it's adopted, but hasn't tipped its hand yet. It said very explicitly it wants the White House and Congress to move first and to give a direction in this area. So the US and other countries around the world, many of whom are exploring a CBDC, they do need to take a stand on exactly what they believe and get going on the technology. It's not clear yet, though, that the United States needs to have its own digital currency. It should develop the technology, and it should find out how good it is before it pulls the switch on using it.
What is the risk in allowing China to take the leadership on this?
Well, right now, the renminbi is not heavily used for cross-border payments. It's about 2.5% of cross-border payments, whereas the U.S. dollar is around 40%. So there's not really a risk that the dollar is going to be suddenly, no longer king of the hill. That could happen in decades, but for the time being, the dollar is safe. But China does get to, establish leadership that the United States would like to have. China can influence regional use of currencies, including the renminbi, if it were to ever relax its capital controls. Cross-border payments in renminbi would pick up dramatically. So the United States needs to get moving. You know, the U.S. is also concerned about whether other countries may adopt China's technology, which would give China a lead there. The U.S. is concerned about sanctions. The ability to impose sanctions depends in part on the payment technology that's available. And you've been hearing, I'm sure, a lot about sanctions in the context of international security situation in Europe recently.
Yeah, certainly something we will be covering. Daryl, we'd love to have you back on the show. Daryl Duffy, Stanford Graduate School of Business, Professor of Finance.